today as we come to the table.
Basically saying, look, I've got all kinds of neat things I want to share with you. And for those of you that are willing to really obey me and seek me, I'm going to blow your mind. I'm going to show you stuff that others aren't getting to see. And you might be sharing with somebody and they're going to say to you, man, where did you get that? How did you see that? And you're going inside, it's because I'm spending time with Jesus. I'm reading his word, I'm praying, he showed me something. You know what it is when you're reading the word and God just shows you something that jumps out and you get all excited about it? Hidden manna. Hidden manna. He says, hey, you're seeking me. I've got something for you. I love it. And that's what our God does. He rewards us, and that's the kind of stuff that gets me excited, man. I love it when God shows new things and exciting things and gives me a new insight.
The Word of God is filled with things to learn, characteristics of God, stories of His interaction with the world, ways to love other people, personal applications, and much more. But the only way to actually learn these things is to read the Bible. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. Today, Pastor Mark talks about the importance of daily time in Scripture, and he truly means daily. It's the same idea as the Israelites gathering their food each day. As a follower of Jesus, we should be gathering spiritual food from the Bible every day. And the more you read, the more God will reveal to you. Don't let someone else be in charge of giving you information. Ready it for yourself today. Well, let's join Pastor Mark in Exodus chapter 16 as he begins his message, Principles of Manna.
And let's open our Bibles up to Exodus chapter 16. He loves to feed his sheep, doesn't he? Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. You know, he didn't say, Peter, if you love me, pray with him. Peter, if you love me, have an emotional experience with him. He said, Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. Now, is there anything wrong with praying and having an emotional experience? No. But what is God's first and foremost priority for his church? That they are fed the word of God. That is his first heart, his primary heart. And tonight we see that in what I'm calling here the principles of manna. Now, that might sound funny, but some of you already understand the picture that manna is in Scripture. Maybe some of you don't understand the picture that manna is in Scripture. But I'm happy to manifest that to you tonight. And I won't do any more of the manna jokes. There's lots of them. That's one that I'm happy to do tonight because the principles of manna, this title may sound strange at first to you until you understand how God uses manna in Scripture and the way that God has used manna in Scripture. And then it's going to make sense. First of all, what was manna? Now, we started looking at manna last week. Remember, the children of Israel came out of Egypt. They went into the wilderness. And in the wilderness, you don't exactly have gardens and rainstorms and the ability to grow anything. So there was a situation. We need food. We need water. We saw that God supernaturally was giving them water. God will continue to do that for the 40 years in the wilderness. Well, they needed food as well. And God is not only going to give them bread, he's going to give them quail. He's going to give them a delicacy. And in today's world, quail is a delicacy. So, and we're going to see that manna was a very tasty, honey-like bread that no doubt was heavenly, quite literally. God began to give that to them last week, and we looked at it from the physical sense. Tonight I want to look at it from the spiritual sense, because the Bible says indeed that God's word is our manna, that God is our manna. All these things we're going to see come out tonight. But now, what was manna, in case you're new to the Lord or you weren't here last week? Manna was the supernatural food that descended out of heaven every morning for the 40 years the children of Israel were in the wilderness. Now think about that. Supernatural manna. By the time we get to the end of the chapter here, we're going to see that as soon as they entered the promised land, or when we're going to see when they got to the promised land, that it stopped. As supernaturally as it started, it stopped the same way. So God made it very clear this was not some strange gum that came pushing out of a tree or a plant. Some people, you read some commentaries and you get some strange ideas on what people think it might have been. How about just what God said it was? Bread that he sent down from heaven that he gave to them supernaturally. He gave it to them through the wilderness. And when they were done, you know, they were in the land, they were able to get their own food. Then God didn't give it to them anymore because they didn't need it. And God always gives us what we need when we need it, doesn't he? That's what manna was. God did this again, as I said, because in the middle of the desert, you don't have many options for food, and God's promised to provide for them. But it was also, and more importantly, not only God providing for them in the wilderness, this was to give them and us a picture of Jesus and what he would be when he came to the earth as a man. Remember, the Bible says everything written in the Old Testament, and it really focuses in a lot on what happened with the children of Israel in the wilderness, was all written down, not just so we could read about it, but it was given as a picture for us so we could understand not only what they went through, but what the Christian life is like. Understand, from the beginning of this whole journey in the wilderness to the promised land, it's all the Christian walk. It's exactly what it is. And so he gave this for that reason. And this part of it, the manna, is the picture of Jesus Christ and what he means to the believer, and literally what he is. The Lord of heaven, bread from heaven, coming down to the earth to feed us. Yes, to feed us physically, but to feed us spiritually. That's what manna is. And so what does the word manna mean? We remember last week we saw, they were looking at it, they didn't know what it was, and they said, well, what is it? And so what is it? It's the word manna. So when you said manna, it meant what is it? They looked at it and they said, what is it? And that meant manna, so it stuck. They said, in other words, from now we're just going to call it manna because we don't know what it is. God tells us that it was literally bread that came down from heaven, supernatural bread. Interesting in a lot of what God said about manna because, again, it's being a picture of Jesus and the bread of life. Jesus came down from heaven. And we know that. And so this whole picture here that God's giving us is really neat as far as, you know, when you begin to look. Remember I told you a long time ago, I said, when you read the scriptures, be sure and look in the scriptures for the Lord. Everywhere, look for him everywhere, every chapter, every verse. Why? Because what does John chapter 1 say? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word what? Yeah, was God. And then over in verse 14, what does it say? And the Word became flesh. Exactly. So what it tells us is Jesus is the Word. He was the Word and he is the Word. So Jesus literally is the bread from heaven. He literally is the manna. He literally is the Word. So every time you read the Bible, you're reading Jesus. So as you're reading Jesus, look for him. You know, where's Jesus in this? How can I find Jesus? And he's all over the place in this whole thing with the manna. He feeds us physically. He feeds us spiritually. He's as sweet as honey we're going to see tonight. And it's interesting. Every spiritual nutrition we need in order to be a healthy Christian, he is. If you're feeding on the Word of God and you're in prayer, you're getting every spiritual vitamin, every spiritual nutrient that you need. There are no supplements you need. There's nothing wrong in a book. There's nothing wrong in a book study. We do both here. Many of you read books and all this. There's lots of good helps and things that people have learned. But you don't need the supplemental vitamins to be healthy. Everybody understands that. You just feed on the Word of God. You're going to have every nutrient that you need. It's like a super pill, man. It's like this just super, boom, there it is. You've got it all. The Bible says everything we need for life and godliness is found in Jesus. And I love that. He is our spiritual substance. Everything we need to be a spiritual Christian and to be strong in the Lord. Again, other scripture tells us that with the manna, their feet didn't swell. And that's interesting to say their manna, with manna, their feet didn't swell. Why? Because we now know that people that live in the desert, a common problem is what? Swelling feet. Why is it a common problem for those who live in the wilderness areas over there today to have feet that swell? Because you can't get good nutrition in the wilderness. So without good nutrition, one of the causes of that is feet swelling. That's not always the cause. I know sometimes there's other reasons for that. But one of the reasons for that is you're not getting good nutrition. The Bible says that not only did their feet, you know, never swell, but their shoes never wore out. God did all kinds of supernatural things for them. And the point is, in this manna, God gave them everything they needed to be physically healthy. And it was a picture of the fact that in Jesus Christ, our manna from heaven, we have everything we need to be spiritually healthy. Our spiritual feet, you know, are never going to swell. Our spiritual shoes are never going to wear out. There's not going to be an issue with malnutrition. What a beautiful picture of the Lord. Now, the name, what is it, is also significant because, and that really, again, jumped out to me this time because the Jews still today look at the manna from heaven and say, what is it? They still don't recognize Jesus as their Messiah. He is the manna from heaven. They stare at him. They go, what is it? Who are you? Well, he told them who he was, but they didn't believe him. But the same thing the Jews said in that day, they still say today. They still don't understand who the Lord is. They still don't know that God sent him to save them as well as us from our sins. And it's also interesting in the book of Revelation that we just finished, as you guys know, the Lord promised that if we would love him and seek him, he would give us hidden manna. So what he's saying is, I will reveal myself. For those who seek me and really draw into me, I'm going to reveal things about myself that other Christians aren't going to see. It's not some kind of spiritual one-upmanship. It's not some kind of exclusive club in heaven. You know, you've got the Delta Club card, so you get to go in and, you know, have your little juice and some peanuts, you know, while you're waiting on the next flight. It's not that kind of thing, although that's nice. It's not that kind of thing. It's just basically saying, look, I've got all kinds of neat things I want to share with you. And for those of you that are willing to really obey me and seek me, I'm going to blow your mind. I'm going to show you stuff that others aren't getting to see. And you might be sharing with somebody and they're going to say to you, man, where did you get that? How did you see that? And you're going inside. It's because I'm spending time with Jesus. I'm reading his word. I'm praying. He showed me something. You know what it is when you're reading the word and God just shows you something that jumps out and you get all excited about it? Hidden manna. Hidden manna. He says, hey, you're seeking me. I've got something for you. I love it. And that's what our God does. He rewards us, and that's the kind of stuff that gets me excited, man. I love it when God shows new things and exciting things and gives me a new insight. He says, you seek me, and you're going to get that. Now, something else neat about this tonight is that while we're studying about manna, God's going to give us some of that hidden manna. Isn't that cool? Because as we get into the Word and as we dig together, God's going to reveal things. His Spirit's going to speak to your hearts. It's oftentimes something I don't even say. It's just something God ministers as we read the Word of God, and he's going to give you that manna. So we're going to see that the Lord is true to his Word, and he's going to do it even tonight. I believe that. Now, again, last week we started looking, I said, at the physical level. Tonight we jump into the spiritual level, and we take up here in verse 19. It's kind of an odd place to start in one way if you don't know what we discussed. But remember, they're talking about the manna, how the manna was going to come down, how much they were to gather. Remember, they were to gather an omer per person. That's about 2 quarts. Everybody had the amount that they needed. Nobody had too much. Nobody had too little. And then Moses now begins to give instruction about the manna. And I waited for this portion because I wanted to make that relation not only to the physical manna, we're going to see what literally happened, but the spiritual manna. And notice verse 19, it says, and Moses said, let no one leave any of it until morning. He's talking about the manna. They would go out and gather it every morning. And he said, when you go out and gather it and bring it home, don't leave any. Don't put it on the shelf. Don't stick it in the fridge. Make sure that it's all done. And of course, I know they didn't have fridges, but you get my point. Leave none until morning. And this, believe it or not, although it's a short verse, it's loaded. Because as we talk about the principles of manna, and that's really what I call tonight, because as I study this, it's really principles about the Word of God and about Jesus and about manna and the picture it is. The first principle that we come to tonight concerning manna is that manna is a picture or type of Jesus Christ. And it is also a picture or a type of God's Word because of what we said in John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. So we have to not only see that manna is a picture of Jesus, we also have to see that manna is a picture of God's Word. And when you realize that, it gives you a whole different viewpoint when you study manna. It gives you further insight. You see, this is important. Why? Because the first thing we're told is they're to leave none of it until the next morning. Now, what is my point? We saw last week, God said it's to be collected each day in prescribed amount. If they did it, that would be sufficient for that day. However, he told them to only collect what was needed for that day and not to try to get enough for the next day. And here it is reiterated when he says, leave none of it until morning. So what is my point and what is the first principle of manna tonight? That is this, today's manna is only sufficient for today and will not be enough to sustain us for tomorrow. You know, you can't read enough of the Bible today to get you through the next day. You need to read the Bible every day. And God will give you what you need for that day. And when he gives you what you need, you now function through the day with what you need. But if you just go to bed and say, well, I'm not going to read tomorrow. I already got my manna from yesterday. We're going to see that God said that doesn't work. Don't leave it till morning because what I'm giving you today won't last till tomorrow. Now, we know it'll last in the sense of God's word being eternal. But it won't last for what I'm trying to tell you each day to do. I'm going to lead you as your commander in chief of heaven. I'm going to give you instruction every day. I'm going to lead you every day in what I want you to do. And if you're really given over to me and you're really my servant, everything, I'm completely yours. You know, I mean, you're completely mine in every way and you're giving yourself completely over to me, then I need to be able to give you instruction. You know, it's one thing to say, whatever you want me to do, you're my master, I'll do it all. But if I don't call up, you know, if you were to go to an earthly boss, and we would never do that. But if you told an earthly boss, like, I'm your total servant, whatever you need, man, I'll do every day. And then you got up every day and you never called him to ask what he wanted, would you really be his servant completely? How could you be? You haven't even talked to him. He hadn't had a chance to say, well, I've got some things I need you to do today. So here's the punch list, and here's what I want you to do if we don't go to him. But if we go to him and we get that list, then now we're doing in action what we said. We really want to be the servant. That's what's happening here with the Lord. He's saying, you really want to be my servant? Then you need to get the manna every day. Today's manna is sufficient for today. It won't sustain for tomorrow. It has to be read and eaten each day to give us what we need as believers. And if we try to get by on tomorrow on yesterday's manna, it's not going to work. Now, the question is, how many of us today are living on yesterday's manna? You know, one of the things, you know, people go, wow, I remember the days when it used to be this way and God used to speak to me that way and this used to happen. I know we go through different times, some more in tune with the Lord than others, but I don't want to live on yesterday's manna, guys. I want a brand new message from the Lord. I want new fresh food for you. I want new fresh food for me. I want new fresh manna in my life. I want new fresh manna at Calvary Chapel. If we want that in our lives, we have to seek the Lord for that. But if we do that, God says, I'll give you the hidden manna. I'll show you new stuff. I'll give you, and I'm not just talking about just something new that makes everybody go, wow, that's good. I'm not talking about that. It's not kind of the one-upmanship of, you know, boy, that's a point I never saw type thing. It's true sustenance. You know when it's happening, don't you? You read it, you eat it, you feed on it. It just ministers to your soul. And so that's what the Lord's talking about here. That's what he's saying. Don't leave any of it until morning. You need to get tomorrow's manna. Leave yesterday's manna where it was. Let it absorb into your system, become a part of you. But now get what I've got for you today. So he says, now notwithstanding, they did not heed Moses. But some of them left part of it until morning. So some of them went out, gathered it, and they didn't get rid of it, like he said. And notice this, it bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry at them. That's interesting. Manna didn't last very long, did it? Again, without refrigeration, without spiritual refrigeration, it was done pretty quick. But God didn't give them spiritual refrigeration or any kind physically, you know, I'm tongue in cheek. The bottom line is don't keep it. You need to get more manna tomorrow. You've got to go again and gather. You've got to go again and crack open the Word of God. You've got to go again and sit down at the feet of the Lord and begin to feed and take it in. And again, notice some of them chose not to obey here. And look at the results. It bred worms and stank. This doesn't mean that God's word ever rots or stinks. So you don't want to take the illustration here too far when you see the picture of manna being God's word. It simply is a picture God is giving us to show us what it's like when we try to make yesterday's manna make it through today. If we try to take yesterday's manna and make it through today, it stinks. It doesn't work. It just doesn't work. This brings us to the second principle of manna or God's word in our life. If we don't read it each day and try to make yesterday's reading or yesterday's manna get us through, it breeds worms and it stinks. And that is, we find that it's not sufficient to keep our mind and heart where it needs to be. And I know for me, I have a stinky day and oftentimes act like a worm. Truly. I mean, the whole picture here to me, I'm like, Lord, that's exactly right. I'm pretty stinky when I don't get new manna. And if I'm not in the manna every day, then I do kind of, you know, breed worms. I mean, it's like, why am I being so wormy today? What is wrong with my attitude? What is wrong with my heart? What is wrong with the way I'm conducting myself? He says, no, you didn't get the fresh manna. It's no wonder you're being that way. Now, sometimes we have time in the Word and time in prayer, and we have the fresh manna, and we still have a hard day. I understand those. But I've found most of the time, if I will just get up and go and gather new manna for the day, not try to make it on yesterday's manna, new manna for the day, I will find that my life and my day goes well. Doesn't mean I don't have problems, but it just means I'm now thinking with the mind of Christ. I feel like God is helping me and I'm in tune with the Lord and everything is just better. Literally, that's what happened, but the whole spiritual picture here is amazing as well. And notice he was angry with them. Verse 21, so they gathered it every morning, every man according to his need, and when the sun became hot, it melted. This is one of the most important verses of all tonight. Because this is exactly what happens in my life and yours. You may not have realized it until you see it now, but you're going to realize it when I tell you about it. Because the next principles, and there's a couple of them here, of manna, is that one, it has to be gathered every morning, notice he said, according to each one's need, and we have to gather it before the sun gets hot and melts it away. Notice the first word here, the principle, every. It's not enough to read God's word once a month, once a week, or once every other day. We're told to read God's word and get the manna every single day. And Jesus said this, unless you take up the cross and follow me daily, you cannot be my disciple. That's pretty strong language, isn't it? Now, again, let me give this balance because some of you are thinking, well, if I don't read the Bible every day, does that mean I'm not saved? No, there's a difference in being a disciple and being saved. You're saved. If you receive Jesus Christ, are you saved? Yes, you're saved. You're in Christ. Your sins have been washed away. You're going to heaven. But there's a different category that Jesus created in the Gospels and the Scripture lays out. It's called discipleship. You can be saved and not be a disciple. Saved is just confessing your sin, receiving Jesus as Lord, and getting in the kingdom of God. And that's good. That's very good. But if you want to be a disciple, and the word literally means a learner of, every day. Every day in the Word. Every day in prayer. If we don't do that, we can't call ourselves a true disciple. Because those are the guidelines Jesus gave. He said, if you don't take up your cross and follow me every day, you can't be my disciple. It's pretty clear. He's basically kind of, I think, putting a challenge out there. It's like, look, you know me, you're saved. You're in the kingdom, you're my family. Who wants to be a disciple? Lord, I do. And a few people step forward. I want to be one. Okay. See you every morning, same place, same time, same dove channel, same dove time, same dove place. That's the old bat channel, bat time. But the Batman, back when I was a kid, never mind. Nobody, okay, anyway. Be back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. That was when I was a kid. I loved it. Anyway, this is the same dove channel. The same dove. Let it go, Mark. All right, I hear you. And so we have to decide, all right, do I want to really walk with the Lord and walk the way he walks and do this? Then we got to seek him. It's not works. Now, when we seek him, does that mean we're earning our way into heaven? No, we all that. There's no works here. We're not earning anything. You're saved. You're washed. You're cleansed. You're a believer. It just means you get to know him better. It means you get to walk like he walked. It means you get some of the hidden manna, and it's fun. And it means God will use you when he doesn't use other people. I want to be used. How about you guys? That's what it means to be a disciple, to be a learner of, to follow, to walk as he walked. And notice next, when he said they were together. Now, this is going to be tough for some of you guys. Every morning. Wait a minute, Mark. You're saying that if I don't have quiet time in the morning, I'm not a true disciple and I'm not really following the Lord. I'm not saying that. You can seek the Lord all through the day. What I'm saying is that with the principle that the Lord is laying out here, the answer would be yes and no. Can you be a true disciple and not have discipleship in the morning? Yes and no. Of course you can. But there's something that the Lord puts in the scripture that I didn't used to teach as firmly as I plan on doing tonight. Because God really convicted me, and I used to kind of back off and say, the morning's not that important, don't worry about it. I think the morning is very important. And it's not legalism. It's not a work. Why do I think the morning is very important? Because something that really jumped out at me this time was the fact of the sun melting it away and losing your opportunity for the Word of God. You see, what he said was here is that if you don't get it in the morning, notice it says the sun got hot. The sun would get hot and it would melt. It is a picture of exactly what happens when we don't gather and eat our manna the first thing in the morning before the day gets started. Why? Because once the sun gets hot or the day gets started, our opportunities to gather the manna get melted away. And if you don't get that manna in the morning, you may never have another chance the rest of the day to get that manna. You might, but you may not. And I found that oftentimes, more times than not, when I don't get the manna first thing in the morning, I don't get the manna. I mean, yeah, whatever I can grab on 101.1, driving around in the car, praise God for that. But I had one of those mornings. It's so funny. God's got a great sense of humor. That was my day today. Today was a very weak day in manna and prayer. Why? We're trying to move Milad and Trace in, and we were up very, very late into the night. So I slept in this morning just so that I'd be surviving today. And I got up, and I sat down to get in the Word, to get the manna. Especially, I'm teaching on manna. I said, God, I've got to get in the manna. I'm teaching on the manna, you know? Getting the manna, you know? And I started reading, and everything, phone ringing, daughters having, dad, wife, my mom, everybody. Now, is it their fault? My fault. Why is it my fault? I let the sun get hot and it melted my opportunity to get my manna. That's my fault. And I sat there going, Lord, this is like poetic justice. I'm teaching the flock about making sure you're up to get that manna. And I'm sitting here watching it all melt. I'm watching every bit of it melt in front of my very eyes. I'm starting to read the chapter and, dad, I've got to have this. Read more manna. Mark, can I ask you a question? Read more manna. Ring, ring, for you. It was like, okay. And finally, what I did today was, and I do this from time to time, and I got a little bit of manna and a little bit of prayer, but most of it melted away because I was so tired the night. I was up till late, you know, and I'm making excuses for myself. But the bottom line is, I knew I needed to get some sleep or I would be totally wiped out. And I'm not saying that God's grace is there, isn't it? God's grace is there. But the principle, he allowed that to happen today to really drive the principle home to me, and that is Mark. If you don't get it in the morning, you may not get it. And I'm like, yes, Lord, I hear you.
The Old Testament book of Exodus might sound like a far-fetched plot line for a movie with lots of CGI, but the truth is, the accounts in Exodus actually happened, and there were startling results for the Israelites, as well as for the people of Egypt. God proved his sovereignty, reigning over weather, an entire nation's economy, and most importantly, the hearts of people. There was much loss and devastation that occurred due to consequences that God handed out in Egypt, but through this, he showed his might, power, and ability to bring his people who were imprisoned to a state of freedom. Now that's a plot line to get behind, seeing God bring about redemption on a grand scale. If you're wrestling with anything you've heard today about God or his ways, we'd be happy to talk with you and pray about anything that feels unsettling. You can fill out a question or comment form at thewaymedia.net. Under the Come to the Table link, you can also give our church office a call at 865-609-1385. Again, that's 865-609-1385. If you're in the Knoxville area, please come join us at Calvary Knoxville, Simply go to thewaymedia.net and find the link at the bottom of the homepage to get service times and directions. If you'd like to hear more teachings from this series, we encourage you to find them on thewaymedia.net or download the Way Media app. Pastor Mark has more to share from this book next time, so make sure to join us the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.